Welcome to the Deeper Life Bible Study, coming to you from Identity Church in Deltona, Florida. Now let us hear the expounding of the Word of God, a now word for this moment. So grab your Bible, sit back as we delve into the Word of God and hear the Logos and Rhema Word.
And we've been talking about this passage in Judges 6 through 8. This past few weeks, and it's been about God's call to Israel to repent and return so that times of refreshing could come from the presence of the Lord. And then this week, I don't know how many of you saw it, but Pastor Don Wallaba posted on Facebook an inspirational piece about the solar eclipse. He said, "The eclipse happens when the moon falls in perfect alignment with the sun." Interesting enough, the path in the United States began in Salem, Oregon. Salem, translated, is peace. When we come into alignment with the sun, peace will be the byproduct. Also interesting is this occurs on the beginning of Teshuvah, the 40 days of repentance, ending with the 10 days of awe and Yom Kippur. Could it be that God is calling us to a time of repentance and self-examination in the United States that will lead to a place of true peace? True peace only comes from the Prince of Peace, and that son, S-O-N, will never be blocked. That's a good word. So could it be that the Lord is calling us to repentance, a calling to line up with Him in order to have peace? It's interesting in the story of Gideon here that once he finally admitted he hadn't been living in the perfect will of God, he offered to the angel, he says, "Stay here. This will let me know if you're really God. Stay here and I'm going to bring you an offering." And so the Lord said, "Okay." So Gideon goes, he has to kill a goat, cook it. First he had to skin it, dress it, bake some bread. It took some time. So what he's saying is, you know, if this is not just my imagination, when I get done with this a couple of hours from now, God will be there. Isn't that the way? God is patient with us. He waits for us to do what we need to do. So Gideon's sacrifice was a male goat, some bread, and the angel of the Lord said, "Put it on that rock there, put the meat on the rock, put the bread on the top of the meat, and then pour all the broth that you cooked it in on top." So Gideon did that. What Gideon was doing was presenting a sin offering. It's exactly what a sin offering was according to the law of Moses. So then the angel touched the meat, not the rock, but he touched the meat. He touched the sacrifice with the end of his rod. And fire shot up from the rock and consumed the sacrifice. When Pam was talking about Kevin tonight, I was thinking of this. And I was reminded of something an old preacher said one time. If the altar is empty, there is no fire. If the altar is empty, there is no fire. See, when we make that sacrifice to lay down self-will, to make that extra step, to obey, to come into alignment with the will of God, then the fire of God springs up from the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus Christ. Who's the fire? Holy Spirit. What a picture of the day of Pentecost. The sacrifice had been completed and the fire fell. because each one of them as individuals laid themselves on the altar. And God responded. So Gideon said, okay, now I know I'm at peace. I have peace because God has accepted my sacrifice. And that really was God that was standing here before me. So he erected an altar and called it Jehovah is Peace. So Dan hears, or Don rather, Don Wallop is talking about the that Monday started the Teshuvah, the 40 days of repentance, ending with the 10 days of awe and Yom Kippur. Actually, when the 40 days end, that's also Rosh Hashanah, the New Year's Day on the Jewish temple calendar. The religious calendar. They had a religious calendar and a civil calendar. So you have the 40 days of repentance and then the New Year's, 10 days of awe, and then Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Isn't that interesting that the New Year is before the Day of Atonement? A new beginning. Before there's even atonement. See, that's the nature of our God. So the reason they celebrate the Teshuvah is this is the 40 days in which Moses went up, back up the mountain for the second set of stone tablets. First 40 days he was up there, God gave him the Ten Commandments, wrote it with his finger. Moses comes down the mountain, and here the Israelites are worshiping a golden calf. I mean, God had just brought them through the Red Sea, just drowned the Egyptians in the sea. He had just provided all kinds of miraculous things for them, and in less than 40 days, they forgot God, and they're worshiping some other god. But the Teshuvah starts when Moses goes back up the mountain. At first, he's not even sure God is going to still have this people as his. In fact, God said, let me wipe them out. They're obstinate. They're terrible. They're evil. Let me wipe them out. I'll start a new nation with you. Moses said, I'm not going to let you do that. Just think about the reputation you'll have with the Egyptians. They'll just be saying, you brought your people out here to wipe them out, to kill them. And then what kind of reputation would you have with everybody else? No, you're not doing it. And God said, all right. He said, but you still got to come up the mountain. I'm not sure I'm going to go any further. In fact, I'm going to send an angel with you and them to go further. And Moses said, If you don't go, if your presence doesn't go with us, I'm not going. If your presence doesn't go with me, I ain't going. Boy, that should be our motto, huh? Every believer. If it's not from the presence of the Lord, I don't want to do it. If he's not with me to do it. So in those 40 days, the word teshuva means turning. And the reason they turn is because first there's a question that's asked. In these 40 days, they go through this ritual over and over. The question they ask is, God, do you still love me? God, do you still love me? And the answer is, just turn around and you'll see. So in their turning around and their turning back to face God, to be in communion with Him, to be in fellowship with Him, They receive their answer. Yes, God does love me, in spite of all the faults and failures. Turning back to God. And his answer is, yes, I do. Now, that was the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's reversed. No longer do we ask God, do you love me? Because he proved that beyond the shadow of a doubt. Through Jesus Christ on the cross, I never have to worry about my sins anymore since I believed he was my Savior. I never have to wonder, God, do you love me? Do you still love me? That's never a question in my mind. Now the question is, Randy, do you love me? See, after Jesus resurrected from the dead at the Sea of Galilee, he's with the disciples. He says, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me without limits? When I call to you to fellowship with me, will you lay down whatever you're doing and respond? If I call you to go to some people that you think are unclean, will you go? Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me more than your fishing business? Do you love me more than your prestige among your brothers? And you'll go over there and preach to people that are considered dogs? Peter said, Lord, I love you like a brother. I'll do a lot for you, but I can only love you like a brother. Why was that? Remember Peter before the cross? I'll go anywhere for you, God. Jesus, don't worry about it. I got it under control. But after the cock crowed three times.
Crowing, not crowing.
Yes. After he endured that, he realized he didn't have the strength he thought he did. So here's Jesus saying, Peter, do you agape me? Well, Lord, I filio you. Jesus said, well, tend my sheep then. Feed my sheep. Give them something to eat. And Jesus says again, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me more than anything else? Will you put me first in your life? Lord, I love you like a brother. God said, okay, shepherd my sheep. Don't only feed them, but provide everything they need. See, who's asking the question here? It's no longer man asking God, do you love me? It's God asking man, do you love me? Do you love me? Finally, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me like a brother? And it says, Peter was greatly distressed that the Lord asked him the third time. But he said, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I now realize I'm not going to do anything in my own strength and my own power. not even love you the way I should. I can't even love you the way I should unless you're with me, unless you're strengthening me, unless you're giving me guidance. Jesus said, "That's my boy. Tend my sheep, Peter. If you're really going to show me that you love me, you'll take care of my body on earth." I can just imagine while Jesus and Peter are having this conversation, that Peter is remembering another conversation that the two of them had. And it was that time that we call the Last Supper. We're talking about turning. Pastor Don Wallaba said this is a season for turning, for reflecting. Am I giving my all to God? Am I giving everything I've got to the Lord? Am I putting it at His disposal? So in this conversation about between Jesus and Peter, about Peter turning from his fishing business, because after all, Peter had said while they were waiting for Jesus to show up, and Jesus has given him enough rope to hang himself. So Jesus waits. So Peter says to the other guys, "Let's go fishing. Tired of this waiting. Let me go back to the life I knew." There's security in that. I have confidence there. I know my identity in my work, in my business. Let's do that. And did Jesus rebuke him for going back fishing? No. What did he say? What did Jesus say to him? "Hey guys, catch any fish?" "No, we've been toiling all night, not one." And not be blessed. See, Peter was trying to live in the acceptable will of God. There's a good, there's an acceptable, and then there's the perfect will of God. Peter was trying to live in that acceptable will of God. Jesus loved him too much. He said, no, Peter, I'm not going to let you ruin your life that way. You were born for greater things. So he gave him a huge catch of fish, and when that happened, Peter found, "Oh, that's the Lord." So he ran to him. That's God's desire always for us. He taps us on the shoulder and says, "Hey, you're slacking off." We're supposed to turn in that moment and say, "Daddy!" And he's ready with open arms to receive us. So while Peter and Jesus are talking, and Jesus is saying, "Peter, you really love me? If you do, feed my sheep." And perhaps while Peter was listening to Jesus, he was also thinking about this conversation he had with Jesus. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that he could not sift you as wheat." Is that what he said? "Peter, I prayed for you that you won't have any trouble in your life." It's Satan. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, once you have turned again, we're in a season of turning. Turning to God and saying, Lord, what would you have me do? What is it you want me to say that I haven't said? Where do you want me to go that I haven't been? What do you want me to do? We're in a season of turning. Reconsecrating, rededicating. Jesus said, Peter, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers, feed my sheep. Same thing. Same conversation, different words. But Peter had been through something. His faith had been tried because he had failed God in the worst way possible. He had failed Jesus miserably. It says he wept bitterly, probably more than one time. Can you imagine the doubt that's going through his mind? Can you imagine him saying, God, do you still love me? God, do you still love me? And Satan would say to him, Peter, give up. There's no use. Forget it. He won't turn to you. Give up. But because Jesus had prayed, his faith did not fail. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, go get the guys, tell them to come here and meet me, and tell Peter also. Called him by name, gave him a special invitation to show him his love. When you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. Lord, speaking to us, this is the season. See, what did he do tonight? He met us in a most beautiful way. He touched our soul. He touched the depths of our being. He spoke words to each one of us individually that were for us alone. He was personal with us. Why? Because he's calling. He wanted to give us a little taste tonight. Remember me? Remember what it's like to be in my perfect will? Remember our times of fellowship in the secret place? Come again. Turn to me. There wasn't none of this on my notes except for... Except for Don Wallaba's. What's that?
I said, I noticed you stopped reading.
Yeah.
You actually started preaching.
Uh-huh.
Don't mess it up now. Start reading. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Don't screw up a good thing there, Randy.
I need to go get the notes.
Yeah, there you go. Throw this bro.
We can use them next week.
Uh-huh.
You want me to do an ox pen?
All right.
No. Keep preaching, brother.
Will you hear God when he asks you in this season? Do you love me? Will you say, speak, Lord? You know, God is just so good. He's doing this thing with me where he's giving me favor among the business people in downtown DeLand. Lord told me to go down, start praying for him, talking to him. I'm going, I'm not a business person. I don't know. He said, I'm not sending you there for that. He said, go tell him I love him. And I want their business to prosper. I'm going, you want me to tell a stranger that God wants their business to prosper? What if they're not a Christian? Doesn't matter. He reigns on the just and the unjust, right? So last week, Lord told me to go down to Campus Grounds coffee place, breakfast time.
I was gone.
Yeah, because usually I ain't going out. Since I'm not working, I don't get out of the house until much later. I like my morning slow and easy. I drink my coffee at home. I buy the coffee from a place in DeLand that fresh roasts their beans once every 7 days. And I grind my beans right before I make my coffee. So it's good. I like having my coffee at my house in the morning.
Maxwell, here you go.
No. Way better than Maxwell. So the Lord says, go down there. And I'm going, all right. He said, what do you want me to tell them when I get there? He said, tell the owner, thank you very much for bringing a quality product to downtown DeLand. I'm going, okay, what else? That's it. So I'm going, you want me to get out of my routine, my comfort zone, all of this, and go down there and for that? Yep. So I get down there, order my coffee and my sandwich. The owner brings the sandwich over to my table, and I don't say a word to him except thank you. I'm just going, I don't want to do this. I don't care. No, I was like that before. You hit it on the head Sunday when you talking about the yoke of people. They don't want to be seen because they don't want to be bothered with everybody else. I confess. I have a happy little place. So anyhow, I go through breakfast, I'm resisting God, I get home, and I'm going, oh, I can't believe I did that. So I'm at home feeling all bad, feeling depressed. So I said, oh, all right, Lord, do you want me to go back down there and do it? He said, no, not today. Time's passed. The moment is past. I said, okay. So every day I'd pray and I'd say, Lord, do you want me to go today? No. You want me to go today? No. Saturday, Sunday, Monday? No. Monday night, he says, I want you to go down there in the morning. As soon as they open, 7:30, I'm going, 7:30. So I get up in the morning, and it's like 7:20, and I go downstairs to start my routine, and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go to Compass Grounds Coffee Place now. I'm going, now? I need to have a little bit of something to wake me up, give me strength. No, get dressed and go. So I got dressed and I went. So the owner is there. I order, sit down. He brings my stuff over to me. And I said, "Are you the owner?" He said, "Yep." I said, "Well, I just want you to know that I really appreciate you bringing a quality product and service to downtown DeLand." His face lit up like I had just handed him a check for $1 million. Big old smile on his face. He said, "Thank you," and walked away. I said, "Lord, is that it? I don't get to convert him or prophesy over him and give him a word." Lord said, "No, that's it." "All right, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for using me. And I can't wait to see that seed blossom and bear fruit." A whole lot of denying self going on. Just too much that ain't dead yet. But every time God speaks to us, he's asking, he's saying, "Randy, do you love me?" Will you turn and love me and feed my sheep? That guy's probably a believer. All the other business owners I've talked to, turns out they're believers.
It made you a believer.
Yeah, sure did. Made me a believer. But there's people outside of my little circle who are believers. Imagine that. Part of the kingdom, yeah. It's a season of turning. Turning to God, answering his question. We no longer have to ask him if he loves us.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.